This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Conan Amaros.
This is Carmen Amaros, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe, a program featuring interviews with public figures, celebrities, writers, authors, artists, playwrights, counselors, lecturers, as well as independent artists and musicians, all here on the New York Podcasting Cafe.
So I was always a good little Italian Catholic girl. I never did any drugs. I never did a drug in my life. One time, someone asked me to do ecstasy, and I couldn't do it. I think it's because I'm Catholic. I feel like, you know what? No one should be that happy. And I love the holidays. I love the holidays because it reminds me of being a kid and going to my grandma's house. And I used to love that because my grandmother had a house. I grew up in an apartment. Well, really, it was more like a tenement slum. Yeah. Oh, I came from very meager beginnings, people. I wasn't always dripping in cubic zirconia. It's great having an Italian grandma. My grandma was Sicilian. She was, yeah, you're Sicilian! Really? My grandma was always, she was all dressed in black. And she always had rosary beads, a wooden spoon, and a goatee.
A Fringe New York City Outstanding Solo Show Award winner for her critically acclaimed sold-out hit Scared Skinny, Mary Domino is described as righteously funny by the Wall Street Journal, utterly captivating by NewYorkTheater.com, and a born rancor with exuberance and heart by Curtain Up. Her book, Scared Skinny No More, based on her original autobiographical solo show, Scared Skinny, was recently released by Sunbury Press and debuted as number 10 on their bestseller list. A 210 MAC Award winner for Outstanding Female Comedian, author, and actress, Mary Domino also won a 2008 Gracie Allen Award for the PBS documentary Fat, What No One Is Telling You, and was featured on NBC's Today Show. The Gracie Allen Award, presented by American Women in Radio and Television, honors exemplary contributions of individuals who have encouraged the realistic and faceted portrayals of women in entertainment, commercials, and featured programming. Other TV appearances include HBO's The Chris Rock Show, Comedy Central, VH1, American Movie Classics, New York Undercover, The Graham Norton Effect, and in sketches on late shows with both David Letterman and Conan O'Brien. A regular on the National Comedy Club circuit, her engagements include Stand Up New York, Caesar's Palace, The Improv, and the world-famous Laugh Factory. Also, a regular member of the renowned all-female comedy group, The Italian Chicks, Mary has opened for Janine Garofalo and Kevin Meaney on Comedy Central. On the stage, she played the maid of honor in Tony and Tina's Wedding and Carmela in the off-Broadway musical Surprise. Her latest solo show, Big Dummy, made its world debut to a sold-out run at the Players Theater in August 2013 in the New York International Fringe Festival. In 2014, Big Dummy enjoyed a sold-out run on Theater Row, where it was a winner of a United Solo Award. Mary Domino is also a comedy contributor for The Huffington Post. Please join me in welcoming to the New York Podcasting Cafe, outstanding female comedian, author, and actress, Mary Domino. Mary Domino.
Carmen Amaros.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I always enjoy talking to you, Carmen.
I always do, too.
You're like my sister from another mister. Yeah, I'm like a hologram. You're not really interviewing me right now. The other guy that dances in the hologram. But no, I'm here live in flesh. You're live in flesh.
Thank you. We're sharing
some coffee.
Yes, I love it. And thank you for the coffee. Italian espresso. You really know how to make a good cup.
And brownie.
What got you into the business of comedy?
The business of comedy. Wow. Yeah, that's some business.
Some childhood experience.
Yeah, I'm traumatized as a young girl. And then I said, you know what? I think I'm going to be a comedian. No, I mean, really, I've always... inside me, always wanted to be a comedian. I didn't know what it was called as a young girl. I knew that I loved certain shows. I loved people that made you laugh. And I particularly were drawn to, like the TV shows. Like I remember I used to idolize like Carol Burnett or Lucille Ball. I used to look at the old reruns, on Saturday mornings. And I Love Lucy. All those great shows that were in the 80s and 70s, All in the Families, like the classic TV.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'd be like, I want to be a part of that. That's like something that I want to be a part of. And I didn't know if it was called like being an actor or a stand-up comedian or an actress. Or all I knew is that I just wanted to express myself. I wanted to make people smile, make people laugh. So that was always in me as like a young girl. Mm-hmm. But ironically, I was very shy, introverted, and I was always a good little student and a good little girl, straight A student, sit in a corner, not say anything, someone will talk to me, I'd turn like red in the face. So, a lot of comics are like that, you would think that they're up there and they're in front of people so that they're always want to be in the spotlight or something. But a lot of them are really shy in real life.
I heard that Lucille Ball herself was a kind of shy, maybe a little introverted.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see her in the forefront in her activities in school. I don't even know if people remember her, but
maybe that's what attracts someone who to become a comic is like they need that, that helps them get out of their shell or it helps them get out of their head or they're so repressed that they're like, yeah. I gotta.
Plus, there must be something about laughter that is addictive, right? What was your first time? When was the first time that you ever saw people laughing that got the endorphins going?
Well, my grandmother would, she was great. I think she was like my first audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I would come home from school and she would, she'd set up some milk and cookies and we'd talk and she'd say, so tell me, how was school today? And I tell her, and it wouldn't be like one word answers. And she would pull it from me. She'd be like, so what did you do? Oh, so my teacher said this to me. But then eventually she would say, well, what did the teacher, how did she say it? And then I would be standing in front of her, acting out the teacher and acting out like doing like little, like telling stories of my day. And she was just on the floor laughing and laughing and laughing. And I was like, this is so much fun. I'm just like talking and it just seemed to come naturally that way, but I had to be very comfortable with the person for that because I was still shy. So that's how I guess it started for me as far as festering as a kid,
right?
And then went to college and I took some drama there. Mm-hmm. Although I was an English major. Mm-hmm. English communications with a philosophy,
right,
minor, which what are you going to do with that?
You became an expert in the English language because you're writing.
I'm an expert. Well, thank you. I mean, when you hear this accent, it just sounds like, yo, you're from Brooklyn. I don't really speak the King's English. But yeah, I consider myself a writer because I've written a book and two plays now, mm-hmm, two solo shows. And I think, yeah, you came to see.
I did.
Yeah.
Every single time that I've gone, I've enjoyed it. I love watching the shows, both of them.
Thank
I don't
you.
Get enough. Every time I go, I come away with something new.
Yeah, that's a lot of people tell me because I tried to pack a lot of wisdom in the show. Especially Big Dummy, it's very lean as far as every sentence or every syllable that's in there,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
usually means something.
Right.
It means something to me, or it's a callback, or it has something to do with something that's going to happen in the future, yeah, of the play. Yeah, sometimes even if you're just daydreaming for 2 minutes in the audience, mm-hmm, and then you see it again, my friends would be like, that poignant sentence that you said, it hit me. Did you just add that like this time? Because I didn't see it last year. I'm like, no, that was always there. And they're like, wow. So yeah, you're right. You hear things that you don't hear. But so I wrote two shows. My first show was called Scared Skinny, a 100-pound lighter woman show. It's not just a one-woman show. It's a 100-pound lighter one. Because I was very heavy at one point. I was about 275, between 275 and 3, around there. Mm-hmm. And I lost 100. I actually lost about 120.
How long did it take you to lose that?
It took me a year and a half to lose 100. Wow. I was really focused. And then the other 20. And then, so I kept it off, for 15 years. And that's it's great. Still like, it's a lifestyle. It's a struggle, every day. You got to think what you're putting in your mouth. But I wrote a show about my journey, about how I lost the weight, what got me to that weight, mm-hmm, to begin with. And all the fears that got me to that weight, that's why it's called Scared Skinny, and, mm-hmm, and the fears I had to overcome,
right,
to lose the weight. Mm-hmm. So I wrote that show, and it debuted in the New York International Fringe Festival in 2010. And it won Best Solo Show Award.
I was so proud of you. I think I was there.
Yeah. Oh, you were there for the big event, and there was that big gala, and it won, and I was so excited.
Fabulous. The MAC Award.
Oh, yes. Because you are a MAC member. So MAC is, for anyone that's listening, it's MAC. It's MAC. Manhattan Association of Cabarets and Clubs. So we were both members. And and that year, I believe it was 2010, I won, Outstanding Female Comedian.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, can you believe it? It's like 5 years passed already. Yeah.
Get over it. It's like 2016 almost now.
2016, yeah. So that was a great night. Yeah, you were there. Yeah, I won the the MAC Award. God.
I can't believe I was sitting next to the winner of one of the MAC
Awards. Mario Cantone gave me the award.
Yes.
Yeah, and we took pictures on the red carpet after.
Fantastic.
That was all fun.
You've done all these amazing things, these two shows that have gotten awards. You've done several commercials, too.
I started as a stand-up. That was my first love, stand-up comedy. I started... basically, like, right out of college. In college, I was, like, taking some drama and dabbling a little. And I wrote for my humor magazine in school and stuff and for the newspaper and everything. But I really didn't start doing stand-up till after college. That was exciting. I just accidentally, it, like, just happened to me. I got very lucky. I was doing a showcase at the Comic Strip. And there was an agent in the audience. And I was only doing comedy, like, maybe 5-6 years. So the agent took me aside after, gave me his card, and said, oh, you got a great face for TV and for commercials. He goes, I'm a commercial agent. Do you mind if I start sending you out?
Oh my God.
I didn't even know what sending you out meant. I was like, what is it? Does he want to go out with me? What is it? I'm like 20-something years old. I'm like, what's it? So I just said, yeah. I was like, okay. So he sends me out. And one of the first things he sends me out for was a national commercial. And I didn't, you could tell me what national, regional. I wouldn't know the difference. I would just go. You just give me the address and I go. I didn't know better. And you know, it was almost better that I didn't know better. Because if I knew, I'd be like nervous. You know, so I went. I booked it, like right out of the gate.
Wow.
I booked. It was a national Nicorette gum commercial. And the whole Nicorette campaign ran for about 7 years. And I did 3 spots for them. I did Nicorette, the regular flavor. And then they came out with Mint and Orange Committed Quitters Program. And they called me in for all 3. They didn't even audition for the other 2. They just called me in for it. So it was like, it was so great. It was running all the time. Like, I would turn on the TV. I would see it.
Were.
And it was like, I couldn't like walk out the house, walk down. And people would go, oh my God, that's the Nicorette. You're the Nicorette gum girl. Then I'd always get the question, did you smoke? Did you really use it?
You'll never
and
answer
I,
that.
And I get, well, no. I mean, my dad smoked. And I got him to quit. Not with Nicorette, but I did. I was really like always like supportive. Like I would leave little notes on the bathroom. Like when he would wake up, I'd say on the mirror, like, you can do it, Dad. Like, you know, 6 weeks, 2 days, you can do it. You can do it. And I was really his cheerleader. And it was very ironic that after doing that, and I never smoked a day in my life, but I was really helping my father quit. And then shortly after that, I get the opportunity to help millions of people quit, you know? So I thought that was such like a gift from God. It was like, it's almost like payback, like, hey, you did good by your dad. Now I'm going to give you this, you know?
Figure, if you affected your dad and he affected 3 people, those 3 people are going to affect like a chain, like, and it just continues on and on.
It's beautiful. It's like a domino effect, what they call the butterfly effect, where, you know, just the littlest, slightest change in the universe, like even a butterfly's wings.
That's right.
You don't realize how much even our thoughts or our words or one thing we say, we smile to someone, that could change that person's day.
That's right.
And that could change a whole host of other things that would have went on over that day, which then changed hosts of things that would have went on over the month, the year. And then we can affect change. It's just, we think it's so small because we're like, oh, it's just a smile. It's just a word. It's just, I'm just going to wear red today or, you know, whatever it is. And it seems so subtle and sublime and insignificant to us. But I really think that I want, like, everything we do affects everything. We're all kind of like one big like organism in a way.
Yes.
So it's like if you help yourself, you're helping someone else. You're helping someone else, you're helping yourself. And it's just like, I don't know, it's a continuous like flow.
That's right.
I think
it's what you give to the universe. You know, God made this universe with all of these laws in place, and they're there. You know, the grass has its program to grow in the spring, and the leaves fall in the fall, and everything's programmed to do something. And our existence in some way affects and sends up to the universe, and then the universe sends things back down.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think just what we think, you know, we think blessed thoughts, or we think thoughts that are more, you know, insecure or more like shadow thoughts in a way, or fear-based thoughts. It affects the surroundings, and it does. It really does.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
So yeah, so I wrote that first show, Scared right. Skinny, about me losing all that weight. Mm-hmm. And then my second show, I wrote, it was about my dad, talking about my dad, right. helping him stop smoking.
Loved it.
Thank
great
you.
Show. Great show.
That's my heart and soul, is in that
I can't
that
wait
show.
To see it again, actually. You may have something coming up soon, too, right?
Yeah, well, last week I just finished my run at Theater Row.
Okay.
So, but it'll be coming up again in January. It's playing at the 13th Street Theater. And it's playing for a whole month. It's a solid,
excellent.
It's like a 28-day run, so it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to that. So that show, it's called Big Dummy, Me and My Old Man. And Big Dummy, it's about my dad. Big Dummy was my father's nickname that my grandmother, on my mother's side, my grandmother gave to him. She would be like, hey, what did Big Dummy do today? Hey, what's Big Dummy? He's eating all my food. Big Dummy. So his name was Big Dummy. And there were reasons why, you know, and that's basically the whole show. My father was a very simple man. And it took my whole life to realize, because as a kid, I adored him. He's like my best friend. And then one day I just realized he's not like everybody else. You know, he's different. And then as I became a teenager and in college, I kind of spurned him a little, you know, just kept him to the side. Like, you know, if my friends came over, like, he would embarrass, it would be like embarrassing.
But you're not going to tell us what it was.
No, you should see the show. But it's basically that he was simple. And as I got more complex, you know, I kind of, you know, spurned that.
Yeah, well, New York chic.
I never knew New York chic. New York chef. I don't know what I'm saying. But anyway, so so that's about my dad. And then later in life, and this is what the show is about. I don't want to give it away, but he sort of did something really cool. Sort of like a miracle that I think he was able to do just because he was who he was. Because he was so simple, so focused of mind. And sometimes you only need like one way of being. Mm-hmm. And you need to be totally focused in that one way without having many different other complications to make something like a miracle happen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So after that miracle that he sort of did, it really changed my idea about him. And then I started to appreciate him in a whole new way. I sort of realized, oh, maybe I should simplify my life. Maybe, you know, simple is good. Like, simple is not bad. So, and then especially today, you know, like autism and all those types of, you know, dyslexia and all those disorders, they're so prevalent now, you know, and everything has a label now. And back then, I'm not saying my dad was any one of these because I don't want to label him in any way. And in the show, I don't label him either, but he was different. He was special, so to speak. So this show is devoted to him. He passed on a few years ago. So I wrote this as a tribute to him, yeah.
You've been a really good daughter, a good granddaughter. All of the characters are very animated, and it's...
I love my grandma? She's my favorite character to do, that and my mother.
You become them. How do you do that? How do you become your grandmother? How do you become your mom?
It's easy if you ever knew them. It comes naturally to me. I could change my voice, my face, and boom, I'm my mother. I'm my father. I don't know. I'm not really an impersonator, no. But when I write a solo play, it's like I know the characters in my heart so well, or at least as the writer of the show, I know what this character, the purpose of the character, what the character is meant to do. Mm-hmm. So I can then, as the performer. Which is great, because when you do a solo show, it's all you.
Right.
You wrote the show, you perform the show. Mm-hmm. And that's great, because a lot of times as an actress, because I've also done acting things where they give you the script that someone else writes. Mm-hmm. And then you have to act in your mind like an FBI agent. Like, what does this mean? What did the writer mean when he did the dot, dot, dot? Maybe I need to trail off there. Or you know, so the character before me says this, and then I say that. So that must mean I'm reacting to that. So you gotta, as the as the actress Mary, who didn't write the, you have to put your head in the writer's head to be an actor and then act.
Does that take a certain amount of guessing? Did you often get it right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think yeah, because if I look at the page, and then coming from a writing background, because I write a lot, you know, in my stand-up, I always write my own stand-up. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got the feel for the words, so I can understand, like, oh, this is what the writer means. So it's interesting when you go in and you pair up, you go to an audition, and that someone, like, can read the same page mm-hmm. and just interpret the words different right. or, like, not see what the writer was seeing. And you could see that via the punctuation or just from the line in front of you, or just if you read the whole script, the tone, mm-hmm. you know, you get the tone of it, or you get a feel for it. So, yeah, I always thought that was interesting. So I just finished this run, and that's the good thing about, mm-hmm. I think, writing solo plays, is that you're the writer, and then you take off that writing hat, although it's still up there in your subconscious, right. and then you become the actress. So the actress knows exactly what the writer meant. But then the actress adds their own stuff to it, their own flair. Right. You know, then the writer comes in and like, oh, well, maybe I'll rewrite that. You know, and so you're always changing hats, but you're working together, like as a unit. And then eventually, once that is done and it's rehearsed and it went through like 14, 15 rewrites and you're ready to go and you got your director wow. and your lines are memorized and everything is blocked and you got everything. Then the other hat you got to wear is like the manager, the publicist hat, you know, the marketing hat. So you're like, okay, so I need to, you know, for this hour, I am the marketer and I am going to market the show for the next hour. And then I'm the publicist. So I have to write this PR thing and send it out and send right. out 20 emails to the press, or I have to do interviews now. So you're always like changing hats. So that's what I love about solo performing, is that it really uses all your talent to its utmost as much as you can. And you know that that's only you up there. It's like, it's your guts and your glory that's mm-hmm. being shown every night on that stage. Right. It's your acting, your writing, it's your heart, your soul. And it's how much you put into it.
I just saw you relive every ounce of sweat, blood, and tears that you went through to write these plays and produce them. But so I'm going to reward you by asking you this question. The Gracie Allen Award.
Ah, you remember that. Thank you. That was such an honor. The Gracie Allen Award is presented. It's given by American Woman in Radio and Television. Yes. And back in 2008... Mm-hmm. I was in a PBS documentary, right. and the title was called Fat, mm-hmm. What No One Is Telling You. And it was, they just took people from around the country. They had auditions for this. And people that either lost weight naturally on their own mm-hmm. via exercise and right. diet, or people that had gastric bypass. Mm-hmm. So they did that.
I think I'm pretty sure that I saw it before I even met you.
It's still on Netflix.
Really?
It's on Netflix. It's on. Do you know you can buy it on Amazon? It's like so funny.
I hope you're making money off of that.
No. I mean, if you buy my book on Amazon, I get, you know, but not that, because that belongs to PBS.
Do you have anything that you have out there? Any products that you retail?
Well, I have a book. Mm-hmm. It's published by Sunbury Press, mm-hmm. and you can get it at Barnes & Noble or whatever. But you can get it on Amazon.
Right.
I love Amazon.
What's the title?
It's called Scared Skinny No More. Okay. So it's my show is called Scared Skinny, and this is Scared Skinny No More. And it's basically a non-diet diet book. I co-authored it with a doctor. His name is cool. Dr. Brad Johnson. He's done a lot of cool stuff on...
And is he in New York?
Yeah, no, he's in South Carolina. So, but we did a lot of our research. We met a few times in person. Right. You know, he flew. We did our notes, and we did the initial skeleton of the book, and then... It was a lot of, you know, it took a couple of years to write that book, but it's you know, he's a doctor and he's a research doctor, and his thing is obesity. And he saw me in the PBS documentary called Fat, What No One's Telling You. Mm-hmm. And he Googled me, found my agent. he called up CESD and said, yeah, I saw this show on TV, and I think that you're her agent. Could you somehow connect me with her? And then we just started talking, and he was like, I was really taken by your story. And that's when we decided, you know, hey, you know, like, because I said, you know, I have this one person show I'm developing. It's called Scared Skinny. And I want to write a book. And he wanted to write a book. And he had all this research about obesity and how diets aren't good. And, you know, my show is basically about, you know, every diet is like bad. Like everything, like nothing really worked. And it really comes down to, it's not about a diet. You can't be on a diet your whole life. You know, you'll initially lose weight, but that's because you're eating like, you know, a banana every day. But then wait till you start eating normal again.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
So we were both very passionate about this. At the time, we were very passionate about weight, obesity, and all that good stuff, and helping people. So we joined forces, and we wrote this book, and it was published just like last year. And it's now out now, and it's on Amazon. It came out number 10 on the bestseller list for Sudbury Press.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And he's a great guy. He's a great doctor. So yeah, that's what I have out there now, selling on Amazon. And the PBS show, I mean, if you want to see it.
Your life has affected people in so many ways. Between the comedy, making everyone healthy by laughing, making them healthy by telling them what to do with their weight problems, you know, just by being an example. That's, I think it's a special kind of calling.
I can only hope. I hope you're right. I mean, I hope that, like, because what really makes me happy is to know, like, for example, after a show, somebody will come up to me, like, with tears in their eyes. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know, that's my story up there. Or, you know, I feel so much better now.
Yes.
Because I know there's someone else out there that went through this. And it, sometimes just take that one, but like, I always think if I could connect, inspire, or change, or move some one person that I'm talking to in this audience right now, in this play, then this whole, like, run was worth it. Mm-hmm. The whole month, the whole whatever, you know, it's just like connecting with that one person. Right. But if I knew that I was doing that in like the thousands or the millions, that would make me like the happiest person.
Can you be surprised in an unknown way? You have already. You
wow,
really have.
Thank you.
Because you've encouraged people to stop smoking on the Nicorette commercial. You're encouraging people not to give up on themselves because of their weight problems. And in your book, talk a little bit about how you went about it, mm-hmm. and how you managed to keep all of the weight off. You've really been successful in every way, from becoming the comedian, the writer, the playwright, the actor in the scenes, the award winner, because you took it all the way. You got the awards. And then now you write a book, and now you're giving something back. And I think that's just wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Carm. That means a lot to me. And that's why I do what I do. It's really, you know, I do it. Well, in the beginning, like, I think all art is selfish. You do it for yourself, you know, because you really have to, because you have something to say, and you
yes.
do it. And you do it as something that you would want to read, or you would want to see, or
right.
you would think is inspiring. So you do it for yourself. But then once that is complete, then it sort of becomes something else, and then it's about the other person.
Exactly. It's like once you've arrived and you're like, okay, I've done all this, I have this, now you start looking outward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start, what do I do? And you look at your neighbor, and you start sort of, you know, reaching out to people that need the encouragement, that probably need what you needed at one time and received.
Mm, good point.
Whether by divine intervention or whether by a kind word.
Good point. I never thought of it that way, but I just had this whole vision. Like, if I was 24 and in the darkness of my obesity, almost 300 pounds, and just thinking, oh, it's, you know, probably never going to get married, never going to be able to. If I was in that dark space, which I was at one point, and if for some reason one of my friends says, I got two tickets to see a show, let's go see a show. And I happen to see me, but who wasn't me, it was like someone else, but doing this show, I really wonder how it would affect me. I wonder if it would change me in some way and say, wow, there is like a light at the end of the tunnel. There's I'm not alone in this fight. And maybe because of that, there's some hope for me.
Yes.
Wow.
It's like a spiritual awakening, believe it or not, because it's a domino effect. You know, we work at taking care of our bodies, but ultimately we become reflective And in some way, it touches the spiritual, too. I really believe that. I believe that it touches the spiritual.
See, that's what I like about you. You're a deep thinker. And even though, you know, like, for me, even though I'm a comedian, like, everything isn't ha 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 all the time. Like, it's really annoying to be around someone who's, like, on, like, 24/7.
Right.
You know, it's just, like, so annoying. Because comedy should just come, like, naturally, out of the moment, out of the... You shouldn't want to be on all the time. So that's what I like about you, is that you're a very deep thinker, very soulful.
Oh, thank you.
So, like, you know, kind. Like, we can have these, like, deep thoughts about anything.
I tend to see you as this kind of ambassador. You know, people, and it's funny because I knew you were going to react that way, because people don't always see themselves in the light that other people see them.
Right.
And, you know, I took stock of your whole, because I know your story, your life story, your childhood story. And I look at everything and how your life progressed up until this point. And you've received, you've learned, you've grown. And
a lot of pain.
A lot of pain. And now you're giving something back. And I think that's part of the responsibility that comes with being talented, being given these gifts and using them, this great responsibility. All gifts come from above, and how we use them is important.
Yes. Yes. And even there's this great quote that I just heard. In weakness, power reaches perfection.
Where did you hear that? I can't remember, but I just remember I was like, I gotta memorize this.
In weakness, power reaches perfection. I would always say, when I lose 30 pounds, I'll go visit my agent. Or when I lose 30 pounds, I'll start dating again. Or if I lose 50 pounds, yeah. Or whatever it would be. Like, life couldn't start until I felt like I was perfect. You know, or even if, you know, there's... But it's like... But it really is that... It is in weakness that our power reaches perfection. That's the only way you could ever enter into that perfect state, which is practically impossible, is via your imperfections and through your weakness. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So every time I'm like, you know, I get down on myself for anything, like, oh, I shouldn't eat that piece of cake, or I shouldn't, or oh, I just got to work out more, or I just got to, or I start getting into that perfection mode where I'm like...
You're really perfect as you are, really.
Yeah, it's
you're
like...
You're just a work in progress, that's all.
Yeah, and the fact is that there is no such thing as perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is, and you are who you are. So just that alone, just being alive is your perfection. It is your as-is. And life, the earth, everything, is such a fragile oasis. It's so fragile. If you just look at the earth, if you're in space, right? You look at the earth, there's all this blackness. And then you see this beautiful blue, green, filled with life. And the only thing, like, between you and this dark abyss of space is the atmosphere. And you're like, that's so fragile. Yet if you think of everything that is on this earth, every animal, every insect, every person, and you're like, oh my God. Everything is depending on that little thing, that little atmosphere. And it's like, how in the world did this even ever exist? And how did it ever even come about? How could this beautiful, fragile thing happen in such a chaotic, dark, like, universe? Yes. And it's the same with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our lives are so... Life is precious, you know, and it seems like that, you know, I mean, it seems like a platitude or something just someone says, but, like, if you really think about how precious it is and how fragile it is, then you start thinking that, no, I don't have to be anybody than who I am right now and who I am. I don't have to be somebody else's person. It just is.
Being comfortable in the skin that you were made in.
Yes, and to realize how lucky, how lucky we are just to be a part of all this.
Yes.
So that's so, thank you.
I want to have you back again, maybe a part B.
Oh, boy, yay!
And maybe you can talk a little bit more about all of the other stuff that you're doing, because you've got so much going on.
Oh, thanks. Well, in January, if you want to come, I'll be doing both Scared Skinny and Big Dummy, my two solo shows, at the 13th Street Rep Theater, which is on 13th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And all the dates and showtimes are on my website. The Scared Skinny website is www.scared-skinny.com.
Okay.
The Big Dummy site, Oh, and Big Dummy won the United Solo Award in Theater Row. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I was really excited about that. That happened recent.
Fantastic.
So if you want to see Big Dummy, all the information is at big-dummy.com. Mm-hmm. And then I have my own YouTube, Twitter page. It's all at Mary Dimino. Mm-hmm. And it's spelled MaryDimino. And then my personal website, marydimino.com.
Thank you so much for being on my program.
Thank you. You're just a fantastic human being.
Thank you.
So blessings to everybody out there. Fragile Oasis. Thanks, Carm.
Thank you.
Carmen Amoros here. You have been listening to an interview with female comedian, author, and actress Mary Dimino. To find Mary Dimino, go to www.skinny.com or www.marydimino.com, or you can find her at her page on IMDb at www.imdb.com/marydimino.com. Thank you for joining us. This is Carmen, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe. Visit me on Facebook. Do a search of New York Podcasting Cafe Radio or New York Podcasting Cafe Global Community on Facebook and join and like my pages. I would like to wish you and your family a very, very happy, healthy, prosperous, and peaceful New Year. See you real soon.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.